Hey, baby.
Hey.
Naomi and Andy here with a quick Q/request.
Yes. So, okay, Acast is doing these audience surveys, okay? We put the link in the show notes. The link is going to be in the link tree on our Instagram and everything like that. Here's the thing, Naomi. You know, we're already pretty choosy about the ads that we allow on the show. No weapons manufacturers.
Raytheon, get out of here.
Yeah. Screw off, Raytheon. But we want to make sure that the ads are kind of tailored to y'all.
Right.
Okay? Right? Say you want to hear ads for A Different World DVD box sets.
We need to know that.
We need
can
to
go
know
out
that.
To them. We can get the word out. But we only can get the word out if you give us the word. So you got to fill out the survey. It is quick, quick, quick. And it just lets us know if the ads you're hearing are the right ads for you.
Yeah.
So get on over to the show notes where that link is or the Couples Therapy link tree and fill out that quick survey so we can pass the word on to Acast.
All right. Roll it.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Open your hearts, loosen your butts. It's time for Couples Therapy, everybody. That was pretty good. I liked that.
Yeah, this podcast is Andy and Naomi's, where they can both laugh and hang with all their homies, talking excellent vacationing with brunches and cuddling, to messy situationships and conscious and coupling, from Netflix hookups to single them with some Hulu, text, sex, regrets, or feeling on your new jubu. They gon' talk about it, yeah, you are invited, needing therapy, I guarantee, baby, we got it.
It's Couples Therapy, Couples Therapy.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Couples Therapy. My name is Naomi.
My name is Andy.
And we're a real-life couple.
Real-life couple of comedians.
And on Couples Therapy, we answer a couple of different questions from a couple of different listeners.
Hello, everyone. Welcome. It's the end of April in the glowing year of 2024. Keep this positive. We're going to keep this positive. We're going to keep this positive. End of April. What a great month. Everything's been... Hold on. We're going
to... No. Can't acknowledge the time period of the month.
No. Everything's positive. Everything's good. Everything's good in the world. Everything's...
We are awake. We have all of our faculties. We are recording a podcast for beautiful people who choose to subscribe and tune in on a weekly basis.
Yes, that's
and
great.
That is beautiful.
Christian fascists do not live
Andrew.
In our... Okay, yes, sorry. No,
Andrew.
Right. No.
Andrew.
Creeping authoritarian. No.
Andrew.
Okay, yes.
Andrew.
Okay, stay positive. Stay fucking positive.
You know what?
I'm going to look in the... Hold on. Let me look in the mirror. I'm going to look in the mirror. Andy, you gotta stay. You have to just repress everything. Repress the entire fucking world.
Squee gained 0.8 pounds.
He gained half a pound.
Half a pound.
Eight ounces.
8 ounces. Squee gained 8 ounces. That's a real plus. You know, our boy with his little intestinal cancer, the weight was falling off.
Wait.
But now we've got him on a good food and he's gaining.
I got a real thing. Okay, wait.
Well, I told you something positive.
That is fun. That's one. How do you know? Here, I'm just gonna look. We are trying to make this as difficult as it is. We are trying to make this show 1 hour respite. Okay.
I feel like I try my best, and Andy be coming in unable from the jump.
Because the minute the microphone starts, then
the microphone starts. You hear him? As though it's the microphone's fault. The minute the microphone starts,
you know, the darkness just creeps out of the all the curls in my cerebrum. So, how do you know? Here's a question. This is on theme for the show. How do you know it's time to dump your therapist?
Well, it's funny you say that because I was actually just thinking yesterday. I was like, oh yeah, you got to get rid of her. So you need to dump your therapist when your wife tells you she's not the one.
Okay.
Because the way you talk about her, and there's nothing like, or I'm like, oh, Andy, you got a problem. You need a new therapist. More like, the way you talk about the sessions and the way you talk about her with, like, when we bring up therapy, you know, on, yeah, with guests and stuff, I'm like, I don't think she's giving you what you need anymore.
Yes. So this is the thing. It's just like, I feel like I've gotten through a lot of my real issues at this point. And the big thing that I do not know how to do is deal with the world as it collapses. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right.
And that's what I bring to the table every week.
Yeah.
And she just does some kind of like Freudian hocus pocus, legerdemain, kind of like reflecting it back on me. And I'm like, well, that's not really the problem. My problem is like, do I adapt? What do I do?
Right.
Do I just try to pretend like everything? Do I
build a bunker? Do I run for office? Do I slaughter everyone?
Do I fuck off to Narnia and pretend like everything's fine?
Exactly.
What is, you know, what do I? And she
does not.
Do I
move to Dublin?
Well, hey, I'm sure we have Dublin listeners.
Oh, yeah. Should we move to Dublin?
Should we move to Dublin?
Knowing the lifestyle to which I've grown accustomed, should I move to Dublin? And by that, I mean, can I get decent food after 9 p.m.? Can I live in an area that is walkable in a safe way? Because people love telling you shit is walkable when it's like, yeah, it technically has a road. That's not what I mean when I ask if something is walkable, okay? What I mean is, will there be people out? Are there well-lit avenues and thoroughfares?
Does Dublin have a Sainsbury? It's the only supermarket in the Commonwealth I'll shop at.
That's the only one.
Is that a supermarket?
You know, I'm more of a Waitrose kind of gal. But anyway...
Anyway,
that's the question, right? Like, you need, you're like, hey, like, because it's, yeah, it's not about reflection anymore. It really is like, okay, we are dealing with very heinous, real things on a constant basis. How do I, what is the best use of my mortal life in the face of that? Mm-hmm. And how do I maintain the sanity and structure to be able to utilize that mortal life?
Thank you, sis. You get it.
Exactly. And so now, and so it's a different kind of therapy now. Before it was like, what do you feel in your body? What is feeling? What are emotion? What are love? What is family?
Yes. Like I mentioned later in this episode, I did want to be Data when I grew up from mm-hmm. Star Trek The Next Generation.
Yes, that is something.
Again, much like I've said the last couple episodes, so I don't loud. Know anything about Star Trek.
Oh my God. If this man, one more time. This is one where...
so sad when Tasha Yar died because her and Data, there was something
like
cooking.
I don't like this bit.
It's not a bit. What are you talking about?
You give me.
I just don't know anything about Star Trek.
Star Trek information. Andy, you know I just want to eat some afternoon cereal and take a nap. Okay.
So then here's the question, listeners. I'm going to pose this to the listeners. How do I dump my therapist?
How to dump? Okay.
How do I do it?
Okay, you guys, tell them what to say. Here's my question. Does it need to be a session? Because I personally don't think you should have to pay money to dump her. I think it should be an email.
Ooh.
Which, based on how cold and Freudian she is, I feel like she doesn't, like, it's like not gonna, like, it's not like you have to worry about hurting her feelings, because her feelings aren't in the process, based on the way she runs her practice.
I feel like it should be face-to-face. I mean, Zoom face-to-Zoom face.
Yeah, Zoom-to-Zoom.
So, listeners, I'm asking you.
Does it have to be a whole, like, here's the question. Do you bring it into the session, like, start the session being like, hey, so I think we should end. Do you want to talk about it, or do you just want to, like, have a regular session and go, hey, so this should be our last session. Bye.
Ooh, see, I don't, these are great questions.
Yeah.
Listeners. Sound off in the comments.
Sound off.
In the Instagram comments,
yes,
under this episode.
But honestly, this episode may inspire a lot more other comments, because this episode, we get into it.
Or I'll tell you this, you could also leave a review on Apple.
Telling us, okay, five star review,
5 stars only. Say how compelling the show is. And
no, not compelling. Now it's just 5 stars. Here's how to break up with your therapist.
But also, you have to say that it's compelling.
Oh, okay.
Couples therapy, the show
right.
is compelling.
Okay, I think it should
always part of it.
I think it should be laughs and love.
Here, how about we just write it for you, and then you just cut and paste.
And then you also say how Andy should break up with his therapist.
But no, yes, yeah, give me your advice. How should I do that?
Yeah.
There's two places to leave comments, folks. It's under the Instagram or in a review on Apple Podcasts.
Yeah, that's very true. That's very true.
Naomi, I do want to play this before we get into the episode. Okay, here we go. This comment. Someone recorded a comment on Instagram
and then sent it as an Instagram voice note. And you know what? I love that, thinking outside the box.
Hi, Andy and Naomi. I'm a longtime listener. First time, I guess this is a call. But anyway, I have to share something funny that just happened. I was finishing last week's episode with Emily, and I assumed that this week's episode would just start playing. And so the intro started playing and I heard your voices and I was like, oh, they sound like so upbeat and so perky. Like, oh man, something good must be happening. So I checked and it was from an unplayed episode from 2019, randomly just started playing. And I saw that it was 2019 and I said, oh, we still had life back then. And then it all made sense. Anyway, I thought that was a funny moment. Thought you would appreciate it. Love you both. Love the show. Thanks so much. Bye.
That is funny. That is also telling. You know, I forgot the extent to which, given that we have done this podcast every week for now 5 years.
Yeah.
It's like, it really is a way to chart one's descent into madness, one's disassociation yes. from reality,
quite
or one's acknowledgement of reality. But like, I don't listen back to eps, right? But I'm like, wow, what that must be if you were to start this podcast from the beginning and listen all the way through.
The ride you would be on.
Oh my God. The plunge. You know what I mean? It's one of those rides where you go all the way up top and then you just shoot down real fast. You know, like those kind of fast dips. What are they called? I don't know. Not like a roller coaster, but one where you literally just go up and
plunge.
Down. That's why I said a plunge.
I was sorry. Oh, you actually said that?
No.
I was in my head because I was thinking, I'm like, oh, because we are very real on the show.
We are too real. It's detrimental to my success.
In a way, I think that other podcasts might not be. And so, like, I'm even thinking, like, Marin is very real, but even he is just like, well, everything's kind of fine. I mean, not really, but there is part of him that is, like, very much, if you listen now, there is part of him that's repressing some stuff that's happening in the world. Not everything. But and I'm like, oh, would you get a more honest depiction of the collapse of the American Empire by listening to Couples Therapy? You know what? I'll leave that to academicians of the future.
Because is this podcast a historical document?
It is.
Is that what we're saying?
It is 100%.
Is the podcast a living historical document that people will be able to listen back to for generations to come?
Library of Congress, we're waiting for your call.
We're waiting for it. I mean, because this is what, you know, what we are. You know, this could also be part of like the history of interracial marriage. You know, from Loving v. Virginia through Couples Therapy podcast.
Through Couples Therapy v. United States of America.
Exactly.
When they get rid of when Clarence Thomas strikes down
interracial marriage. Except for him and Jenny.
Well, no, he's trying to get away from
he's trying to divorce her. And then he's like, well, it's all null and void, actually, and I don't owe you a dime. And then, yeah, from Loving v. Virginia to Couples Therapy v. United States, interracial love in the 20th century to 21st century.
A future book on Verso Press.
Wow. I just think it's so funny. She's like, I thought something good must have happened. Oh, no, it was just the past. I said, girl, if that ain't the truth, I swear.
Hey, I'll tell you something good that happened. The last day of shooting for Mythic Quest was yesterday, as of us taping this intro. And I went and picked Naomi up from the CBS lot, went into her dressing room, and there was a big box. They had given her this big box of like snacks and chocolate on the first day of shooting.
Like a welcome back gift.
Like a welcome back gift.
Gift basket.
And there was just this untouched box of chocolate. She's like, well, I didn't eat it. I'm like, what? So we took it home last night, late at night, not feeling great around midnight, emotionally. Now we have chocolate in the house, and I was able to eat my emotions. I had some chocolate. It was great. So that's a great thing that's happening.
You guys, I felt, you know, Andy was very disappointed in me. He said he was not mad. He was just disappointed, which we all know feels worse. We all know feels worse because he was like, I can't believe you didn't bring this home.
But I'm glad you didn't. I'm glad that we found it like a secret hoard of chocolate.
But here's the thing that's so annoying about it. Because, like, here's the reason why I didn't. Because it's a basket. And on top was, like, a caramel popcorn. Something I've never enjoyed and something I've never seen Andy eat. And then next to that was, like, kind of like a chocolate kind of bark, you know, when it's, like, a thin chocolate with, like, little crunchies in it. And I was like, that's not really our jam either. So that's why I left it. But we get home, and he's like, there are lint chocolates in here. He, like, saw through the crevice, the glint of the lint, okay? And then he opened it up. And then it turns out, you guys, there was a black and white cookie in there. And of course, it had now been in my trailer for 2 months and it was no longer an edible black and white cookie. And that's when I felt really bad. But I was like, you got to put the cookie at the top. You got to put the baked goods at the top. Because I would have thought, okay, let me at least open that up and see what's going on. But if I see a dang caramel corn, I think not for me.
I do like caramel corn. But what I think is interesting, Naomi, what I think is very interesting.
What?
Is that you do not have the same food curiosity that I do. For people who I think part of our bond is food.
Sure.
And specifically food that will tamp down the emotions we're feeling.
Sure.
Right? If I got a basket, I always look through it to see what is going to be the stuff that will fulfill that role in my life.
Yeah. You notice I like what I like. You know, like I would like you to drive me to Levain to get me cookies. Gotcha. Now. But like a basket where I'm not, because I think it's like, because I'm very charged in my relationship with the food, meaning I want the thing I want when I want it. Uh-huh. But if you just put something in front of me and I'm not in that space, I won't eat it just because it's there.
Yeah.
I won't just eat it. I have to need it to eat it.
See, so you have a very specific thing you want. I am more of a food scientist, and that I'll test a bunch of different, like I tried that caramel corn. First of all, it was not very good.
Mm-hmm.
But I do look, hey, give me some Cracker Jack. I love it. Okay.
Literally, I've never seen you touch a Cracker Jack.
Because I'm not gonna just have Cracker Jack normally.
This is what I'm talking about.
At the ballpark. I gotta see watching my boys field some
Yeah, what happens in baseball, Andy? Keep going. Watching your boys field some what?
Look, I know deep X-Men continuity, but the minute you asked me to come up with some kind of specific for baseball, I fucking
watch
freeze.
My boy field.
Watching Gambit throw charged kinetic cards Sentinel.
I love to watch angels in the outfield. That's what you can say about baseball.
Watching my boys field some fly balls. Boom. Got it. Only took me God. 2 minutes
that
of thinking.
Too much.
But I tried a bunch of different things before I finally settled on the chocolates.
Yeah.
Yeah, I tried the Whole Foods Teddy Grahams.
Right.
I tried pretzels.
Right.
Nothing was
it
working.
It wasn't hitting. It wasn't
tried
hitting.
The caramel corn. Just didn't taste good.
Yeah.
I think normal caramel corn would have fit the bill.
Mm.
So anyway, so that's the difference. We have the same need. It's just that yours is very specific and mine is I'm going to try something until the right thing turns
right.
the despair
yes.
turns the despair into nothingness.
Yeah, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
We're not looking for a positive emotion.
No.
We're just looking.
Nothingness.
We're just looking
net zero.
Yeah, just nothing.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Turn on an episode of Slings and Arrows, eat some chocolate, and hopefully everything evens out enough that I can fall asleep for a couple hours.
Hopefully, sleep will take me.
Hey, if you hear this episode in a couple years, you're gonna be like, "Yep, that checks out."
That was the time period.
That was the time.
That was the time. To think that this is truly historical, a documentary, if you will.
Now, don't you have a live show coming up?
You know I do, and I guess I should get it together. May 8th, 10 p.m. at Dynasty Typewriter, you can see me performing with the lovely Aparna Nancherla as part of the Netflix is a Joke Festival. You can get tickets on the Dynasty Typewriter website. You can also go to Netflix is a Joke Fest for tickets. It's going to be new. It's going to be old. It's going to be loosey-goosey, fresh and fruity. As I've said many a time, masks are required, pajamas are encouraged. I just bought a pair that I'm excited about, so when they arrive, I think that's going to be my look. I am trying to figure out the shoe area, because I was like, my house shoes are like a little too loose. I can just imagine myself tripping on stage. But a sneaker feels psychotic. So anyway, I'm just going to put that together. But that's
sneaker feels psychotic.
That's Wednesday, May 8th at 10 p.m., and you know, it's going to be a pajama jammy jam. Speaking of the Netflix Fest, our guest who we have here is also on the Netflix Festival. You've already heard his dulcet tones. This is the first time we really talked and got in deep, and this was a good conversation. I was like, you know
great.
What? I fucks with you. I was like, okay, you are family now.
We
you
came
are
out of this
now.
Being, and I was like, I kind of want to be friends with this guy.
I know. No, he's family now. He's family. The one, the only Mekki Leeper.
Yes.
You know Mekki from shows like Sex Lives of College Girls on HBO Max. You know him from Jury Duty on Amazon, okay, which he was on and wrote on. Okay, yes, there's a written element to Jury Duty, okay? If you saw the final episode, you know how they put it all together.
Guys, reality shows are written. It's 2024. I'm sorry to spoil.
And Mekki is a stand-up comedian who will also be performing at Dynasty Typewriter, but he is May 5th. 10 p.m.
And he's in the show that you're writing on right now.
Yes, but no one knows the show exists yet. But keep your eyes peeled to see Mekki on the upcoming NBC show, St. Denis Medical. So the point is, Mekki's doing great. And honestly, as you will hear in this episode, against all odds. Okay? Against all odds.
Yeah, truly. Truly. Yeah, this was great. I really love talking to him. So without any further ado,
roll it. Okay, now, Mekki, two things. I'm going to say in order, I guess. Let me see. My first impression, you said the intro for us, and then you said, that was good. That kind of healthy self-esteem is what I think of you as.
Oh, really?
You are just,
wow.
That you were raised, someone said you were enough from a very early age.
I want to say, Naomi, you frequently level this.
I do.
Calumny. I don't really think it's calumny, but from your point of view, maybe it's calumny against people.
It's not against.
Against our white
guests. It feels like an attack. I will.
No, I know. Well, yes. Becky, okay, look, this is my style of interview, okay? I tell you my perception of you, and then you claw your way out of that, you know?
Right,
and so it's antagonistic from the jump, and that's like a fun dynamic to set.
Yes. No. I would like to open with the opportunity to deny wherever I can on a podcast.
Exactly. But then... Because I was like, Mackie's having a good time. You know, I think of you as like, it's funny because obviously the characters you play can be very insecure. And yet I think of you as a very self-possessed individual. You're self-possessed.
Wow. I'm kind of horror movie possessed at times, dude. I'm freaking out. No, I think this is a sort of learned and performed confidence, kind of robotic and false. The real me is not this at all.
This is interesting because when I first met you, and I don't think you'll remember this, but it was backstage. Your show was starting after a show that Naomi was on at the Elysian Theater.
Yes, I recall
and
this.
You seemed nervous and sickly.
100%. 100%.
And then the next time I met you, you were actually doing stand-up. And I saw you at a show in behind a...
Oh, yeah, Megan, CJ's show.
What the fuck does CJ do? Something with sports.
It's a sports advertising. Yeah. And we were like outside and they have a courtyard.
And that's what I saw you do stand-up. I'm like, oh, I like this guy. Because I didn't know you before. Wow. And I was like, oh, and you're from the same neck of the woods I'm from.
Well, this is what happened. Because then when Becky, ooh, now everyone, you guys, as you know, I've been telling you I've been on this writer's room. I've told you how I've just been doing my best, freaking out every day. But Becky came in and he was like talking to everybody. And then he revealed this Pennsylvania past working at Aeropostale. And I said, we got to talk to him. I said, this guy's got layers.
Well, I remember, I thought you talked about it in your stand-up set. And are you from Lancaster or somewhere around there? Because I know you went to my grad school alma mater. You went to Temple.
I did go to Temple. Did I finish? Absolutely not. But I was
there for
a second.
Me neither.
Nice. That's sort of the Temple way. Yes. To be Temple made is to Temple leave. Yes. I think if you're a real, you know, other schools in Philly, UPenn, Drexel, those kids are finishing. It costs $1 million a minute to attend those. Temple, it's working class. You get a job, you get the hell out of there as fast as you can. But yeah, my girlfriend is from Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And I'm from even more rural than that. I say Gettysburg, but that's actually a lie. It's an even smaller place that matters less. Our sort of historical claim to fame is that on the way to Gettysburg, the South burned down my town. And that's sort of all that's happened since then. So, I'm from a really small part of rural Pennsylvania. The mall that I worked at, I think that I said this when I was talking about working working at Arrow and working at the movie theater at the same time.
Oh, right. Double, holding down two jobs, single mom who works two jobs.
Exactly. Yes, dude. That's how you know you have a good suburban home life is when you need to be at the mall to avoid it. the mall that I worked at was on a list, I think, of like the U.S. News most endangered malls in America. Like while I was there.
While it was working. What does that while mean? It was up and running.
Most endangered malls. As if it's a
it's a panda.
Yeah, like a rare penguin. Yeah. Let me see if I can find that article.
So wait, while you're looking, what was the name of this town? Or is, sorry, is it burned down again? I just assume that it gets burned
they got
down
them
all
again.
The time.
Yeah, no, yeah. January 6th, they also tagged my town. It didn't make the news. Yeah,
on the way to DC, they stopped in their town and they're like, our ancestors destroyed. Actually, I'm pretending as if like the people that attacked on January 6th were like poor Southern farmers or something like that, as opposed to like middle managers and ski-doo business
and the dude
owners
from fucking Bob's Burgers.
Yeah, it's true.
Could you be more white collar?
Jay Johnston.
He's like a voiceover actor. For all 6'4" voiceover actor is dispossessed.
All Mr. Show fans are so saddened at the fact that Jimmy Pesto,
it's not good.
AKA the Herky Jerky Dancer is a...
Oh, was that from Mr. Show? Herky Jerky Dancer? Yeah. You know, I'm not familiar.
Jay Johnson, the guy who climbed Mount Everest is
also... No, we have to pivot. Now, Becky.
January 6th.
What's the name of this country town?
Okay,
we found the article,
Chambersburg,
you guys.
Chambersburg, Pennsylvania. I do have the article here.
Chambersburg, of course.
And
of
so, course, yeah, so this is... It's a list of nine, and it somehow is ninth. yeah, to the end of the list. Yeah, 60 miles southwest of Harrisburg, Sleepy Mall is a perennial underperformer with unexciting discounters and vacancies left by bankrupt retailers. And that was my retailers. And that was my escape, you know?
That's where you went for a good time, absolutely.
Wait, what was exactly going on at home? Can I ask that?
Well, I do, because we do have to talk about, because you know, Mecca, you know I love an undercover other, okay? And that's what you are, okay? So I love when someone's like secretly of color. And so, right. You know, you're out here white passing. You could really be in here being an operative if you wanted to be. And I think you should, you know, at some point we will need actually you to do that. We will need you to go inside and sort of dismantle from within.
Yes, that's what I've been telling people I'm doing, sort of pitching and cashing checks. And I'm like, no, this is actually for everybody else. I didn't. This isn't. I didn't.
No,
it's not. I'm actually being brave right now.
You're so brave. And that's what we see when we see you. But wait, so yeah, so your mom is Moroccan. And how on earth did she get to Chambersburg?
Which is, I just looked up. You're closer to Pittsburgh than you are to me. I'm Reading, Pennsylvania.
But you went to Pitt.
I did go to Pitt for undergrad, yes.
Yeah, it's sort of this incredible location that is as far from any city as you could possibly be in Pennsylvania, you know. Even Harrisburg, we are far. I'm closer to Baltimore than I am to a Pennsylvania city, but still 2.5 hours. It is isolating and woodsy. What can I say? Yeah.
So, but like you, I think similar to Andy, what I kind of get, like, you were like, I got to get out of this country town.
For sure. Yeah. Not that it's like, you know, sort of objectively bad. I think it's more of a me
yes.
thing.
Yes.
For sure. Those listening, totally. Hey, it's all good. All respect to Chambersburg, Pennsylvania. No, I just was like, I'm like, not a great fit here. But so my mom, you know, listen, not to let her off the hook here. I've got a lot to say about my mom, I suppose. But I think a little hoodwinked uh-huh. by my dad. They met. They both worked at the U.S. Embassy in Morocco.
Okay.
My dad was a sort of, I say this in stand-up, but just an absolutely incredible combo for the childhood experience. You got a Muslim mom, you got a conservative military dad, recipe for a relaxed existence. Really nice.
Yeah.
Not crushingly strict.
Let's point this out. At about 5 years old, 9/11 happens. So
yes. Yes. So now sort of let me handle all that in secret.
In secret.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of them agreeing and on the same page at dinner. It was very cool.
Wow.
What a
world. So, do you have siblings?
I do have a younger brother and I have a younger sister.
Okay, so there's a few of you. So you're in there. You're not bearing the brunt alone, but there are...
I think that they sort of had us strategically mentally separated and pitted against each other until like a couple of years ago. And then thank God there are three of us, because it's like you can really compare notes and be like, hey, nice, we got the majority on this. The data is looking complete.
Wait, hold on.
Oh, yeah, we better unpack this.
Yeah, I got to go backwards first. To go forwards.
Sure. We've got to go backwards to go forwards. That's true. That's therapy.
Go backwards to go forwards.
Kind of
that's what
Tarantino
America's doing right
at
now.
The beginning of this. Yes.
Tarantino tease. That's us.
Okay. So how did your father, quote unquote, hoodwink your mother?
I mean, I think it was just kind of a classic, like, I'm from America. Like, you got to check out America. You know, it's America from the movies. And it's like, well, it's pretty big. It's actually pretty big. A lot of it's boring. So I think that she sort of thought that it might not be, you know, hours and hours away from sort of
anything.
Yeah, like non-homogenous culture, perhaps. So I think that that was a bit of like a surprise mode situation. And then if I can be so bold, you know, their marriage, not perfect. A lot of my dad cheating on my mom. And I think that kind of rolled out a few years in and was data that maybe she would have appreciated earlier on. Who's to say? But
when did
you
learn that, Mecky, though? When did you learn about the cheating?
Well, you know, once I was old enough to kind of bear the emotional load of my mom's difficult life, maybe around 9, she really saddled me with that.
Okay, how do you? I did not think Mecky and I would vibe this hard.
How do you process that at 9?
Oh, you know, you just sort of do the right thing. You step up and say, "Don't worry, Mom. I can be the man of the house for you here." You know, you kind of are like, "You can talk to me about this whenever," and I'm strong, I'm already emotionally developed enough to kind of bear this. What could possibly go wrong? I definitely was just like, I'll kind of be brave.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Oh, no. It's too much. Cool. You're in Chambersburg. You're bearing the brunt. No one knows about therapy yet, at least not there.
Not in Pennsylvania.
Not there.
No, not in Pennsylvania. Not.
No.
Definitely not in Pennsylvania.
I don't think. I mean, I think they maybe did a little therapy. I mean, I know that my dad did not. He sort of, you know, was seeking other solutions. But no, my mom, I think my mom went to some therapy. But, you know, I think at the time with something like that, happens. You're from a conservative Muslim culture. My dad's from a conservative American background. You know, you don't work through the problem. You sort of just have a kid about it. And, right.
Yep.
You know.
Yep. Yeah. You just got to white knuckle it into mental illness.
Exactly. Like, they're like, how many other people can we get in on this? Maybe three?
It's a pyramid scheme. And perhaps if we just keep bringing people in, we will make a profit.
Yes.
Yes.
American repression is an MLM, right?
It's true.
You're just pushing it all down and then try to, and then getting, putting those in emotions into someone else.
Exactly.
And then they push it all down and put those into someone else.
Yes.
Exactly. Yes. And a little, and a couple of tax breaks on the way. I mean, what could go wrong? Pretty good.
Y'all, I think we done cracked it. I think we cracked it, which is by it, I mean life.
Right.
Yes.
And then
have
like
a family.
All, like all MLMs, like all pyramid schemes, it eventually cracks up, which is what's happening right now.
Exactly. Because the person at the top is unhinged and demented.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yes. And then put their dimension.
I like that dimension.
To everyone else.
To everyone else.
Yes.
Okay, we're growing up in this. Now we're in this.
Wait.
Okay, you have more to go back, because I'm still trying to unpack.
It's 9 years old. Like, I know. 9 years old. Are your parents divorced? Are they divorced, period? But I'm assuming yes, but maybe not.
They're divorced now, but they sort of did the very cool thing of like, well, we should stay together for the kids, you know? We should give them a front row seat to how relationships are supposed to be. That'll be the best way to handle this. Yeah, I always think that that's like funny, like when people are like, it's like being like a child of divorce, absolutely terrible, really bad, rough. But being a child of marriage also can be not so awesome. You know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Two people who should not be together is not something you're doing anyone any favors for. And yet it is such a thought. It's such a common refrain that I'm like hoping more people, I'm like, what? That don't make no sense. That don't add up. Like, literally, the only reason why you have to stay with somebody is if you literally don't have a roof over your head without them.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Any other thing, I'm like, okay, no. I was like, no.
Wait, Naomi, can I ask, did you know your parents marriage was not great prior to them splitting up?
Yeah, because even though I was younger when they split up, I was much younger, but I remember them fighting. I have those like flashes, like being 5 years old and seeing these people fighting and fighting in a way that was intense. Not like, oh, they're having a raised voices. It was like, oh no, this is not like a good way for people to talk.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I don't know if it's just my personality. You know, I'm a negative gal. Do I just remember the fighting because that's how I'm wired? Or was the fighting the bulk of it? You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, sometimes I don't know because I'm just the kind of person. And again, it's funny because it's like, I don't know. I'm from New York City. All we do, I keep explaining to people all the time, I'm like, complaining is currency in New York. It's like how you engage with people. It's like, yeah, the train was late. Yeah, smell like piss. How you doing? Like, and that's like how you interact. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so that's how my brain just is wired. But I wonder sometimes when I think about like childhood, I'm like, do I only remember the... not always bad. I definitely remember good things, but do I remember those just because they are like out of the ordinary ones? You know what I mean? Or are they like the stronger memories?
This is something I've gone back and forth on a lot before a few years ago when I like got closer with my siblings again. And the great thing about that, do you have siblings?
That's a loaded question that I will not answer.
Excellent.
I do, but we are not connected.
Ah. A tough sitch.
I do.
Yeah.
But my parents are happily married, so I'm not part of this conversation, really. I'm just sitting here
Somebody...
coming up with jokes, thinking down the side, about the fact that at Hollywood parties, that's how we start out. We just list things that smell like piss first, and that's why we're not doing so well.
That's why people don't like us in this town. Yeah, that's why LA, we're
true.
Not really growing the way we should be growing.
Sort of piss forward. Yes.
Yeah, it's a piss forward lifestyle conversation.
Yes. Yes. Okay, so that's fascinating. Well,
yeah,
frustrating and
sibs.
Unfortunate to not be connected. Yeah, I think it's the thing that's been great about the sibling situation is it really sped up a lot of the processing that I got to be honest, man, I feel bad for some of my friends who are still had a rough childhood situation, but they're like tight with their parents now. And the vibe is a little bit like, well, you know, like we squashed it and I need to love them or it could be a threat to my own existence and an attack on my own character. So I'm just going to say that was all good and that they did their best. And that's tough because it's like that's you really making a lot of concessions for people that were like adults the whole time. And so I see that happen and I'm like, man, you can't unpack this. Because it's, again, it's like a threat to the structure of your life, where I think that if you have some people to compare notes with and your situation with your parents sort of like, you know, kind of like blows up, for lack of a better thing, you can kind of get through it a little bit faster. It's that thing where like, you know, like a belabored breakup, whenever things are mostly fine, but you're sort of settling versus like somebody cheats on you and you get to be like, I hate you and move on. It's like, it is kind of in a way an advantage to be able to just cut
it's
it
freeing.
Clean.
Yeah.
Freeing, yes. It enables you to sort of be mad without as much of the guilt about like, am I actually bad? So I think that for a long time I was like, I think in like listening to a lot of podcasts and wanting to do comedy and hearing the, you know, the childhoods of people who were successful in comedy. This is before
you're listening to a lot of Marin. You're listening to a lot of Marin. I want to be a comic. What is he doing?
I'm saying you go to Marin, you get the structure and the order of the career. You go to Pete Holmes' podcast, you get the emotionality throughout the time. You sort of compare, you make a scatter plot in your dorm. You sort of say, this is how it happens for everybody. And then you do the best version of that. So I think that I was hearing a lot of like, and I didn't know about nepotism or wealth at all, because like the kind of high end of that in my town was so low that it's like, oh yeah, they're so rich, they have two pickup trucks. So like I didn't understand how that could be like an advantage for people. So I'm hearing a lot of stories of like, yeah, you know, it's like I grew up in like this part of Massachusetts, both my parents were lawyers. I'm like, man, wouldn't that be perfect? Sort of the key to having a good life and career is that your parents are perfect people. Let me crystallize that as much as I can, and then I'll be good. Turns out, first of all, a lot more to talk about when your parents are bad. Pretty cool. And
it's a much richer foundation. It's a much richer foundation. A lot of pitch docs come from that.
It's an exciting opportunity when life is sad. People love this.
They love it.
The well-adjusted children of rich people are like, what? What happened to you? Man, that's crazy. I got to go to Thanksgiving real quick. I'll email you in 2 months about this. But yeah, anyway, I just said a bunch of stuff.
No, I want to talk about kind of the sibling of it all, because I know that ability to compare notes, because I think, I have half siblings. My parents divorced, my father remarried, at least married one of them. But so like, we didn't grow up in the same house. And so, for instance, this is part of the disconnect sometimes I feel with my siblings, of that like, they got a different father than I did. You know what I mean? Like, so sometimes I'm like, I don't even know what we have. So basically it was me and my mother, and I'm an only child, single mom. So that, again, that feeling of being enmeshed, taking on the parents' emotions, you know, like there was nowhere else. So like, that's why I was like, I was relating very hard. But that feeling of who I have now, the closest I have in my life is my cousin, my first cousin, who we're 6 months apart, but she's in Detroit. You know, and I was in New York, but I would go to Detroit over summer. The point is, like, that's the closest person who's my age, who knows my mom well enough, who I can go to and say, because, like, that's the thing, there's no one there around me to bear witness. So it was me just being like, oh, I am bad. This is wrong. This is my primary person. And if she is displeased, then I am displeasing, you know?
Yes.
Whereas I can imagine that when you do have these other people where you're like, what, was that fucked up to you too? That can be very, like, it's sane making, right? Like, it's been crazy making. Now you have sane making because you have somebody else to corroborate the event.
But at the time, you said they
pitted
divided and conquered.
Other.
For sure. 100%. Yeah. It was sort of like, this is, to your point, it's just like, if they are displeased, it is my fault. And probably it's also a little bit these two's fault. And I can't really exercise any power, you know, back up the ladder to them. So we're just kind of be mad at each other down here. You know what I mean? So, there was a lot of that. And then it's like, after we kind of were out of the house, we didn't really put it together for a couple of years, but it's like one day I'm like sitting down with my brother. It's been tense, you know, a few Christmases in a row where it's like, well, listen, man, I'm frustrated at you because I've been hearing that you're like terrible to our mom and you're, you know, sort of like whatever, the worst and inconsistent, and your life is a mess and you're sort of fucking everything up and she's worried about you and disappointed in you. And he's like, wait, wait, wait. I haven't heard anything like that. I've heard that you abandon the family and move to LA and never call and don't care about anything. And you're, and it's like, we're like, wait, what? Well, did anything? And then we're calling her sister and it's like, have you heard stuff like this? And she's like, yeah, I've heard that about both of you guys. It's like, well, we heard that you're addicted to drugs and that you're, you know, crashing cars and fucking this. And that. And she's like, what are you talking about? And then, it, you know, it very quickly, it was like, oh, you know, sort of in the way that a toxic friend you might cut out sometime in your early 20s is recklessly, you know, talking shit on everybody else in the group when they're with whoever they're with.
Right.
We were like, oh my God, our mom is doing that to us? That's crazy.
Right.
So, yeah, when we compared notes, it was a little, you know, to your point, sane making, I'd say.
Okay, wait. Okay. I still want to go back to like 9 years old.
Oh my yes. God. Andy's obsessed with you being nine, Mickey.
Yes, yes. I was once nine.
This just seems to be such a like a flashpoint. Your mom kind of like dumping this stuff. Because I'm curious. I want to. There's two things.
Because your parents didn't tell you anything. Do you see what I'm saying? It's almost a very opposite.
Sure, but there wasn't anything for them to tell me.
But still, there
even more frustrating to hear.
But like Andy didn't grow up in, for instance, like his parents, like they, like my mom, if she's mad at you, you will know, she will tell you, and it's right. Like that's hard, but then in some ways it's like, well, at least you know where you stand, whereas Andy's parents are like polite forward and they're not going to push or press.
Yes, they don't want to rock the boat.
Yeah,
they will tell me they're disappointed in me if I don't, if I got an A minus instead of an A. Okay, so
yes,
here's the thing. The two things that I'm curious about around this time in your life. One, how do you, if you hear this thing about your dad, how do you, and you're still in the same, like, that's why I was like, oh, well, if they got divorced, you don't really have to deal with this, but you're in the same household as him for another, I'm assuming, 9 years.
Yeah.
I don't know how I would, like, that seems, like, right. 9 years of, like, I don't know how I would have dealt with that.
How do you,
that.
Like, pretend to respect somebody?
Like, how do you, yeah.
Especially someone who needs respect as, like, a conservative military man.
Well, I mean, I think when that's, like, kind of the only, whatever, like, male figure in your life, I think you're just kind of like, I don't know, that sort of part. You just put it away, kind of. Like, you just put it away. It's like, you know, it's like I'm hearing my mom, but then it's also like I'm hearing my dad. It's like whatever he thinks is like my worldview, you know what I mean? And so it's like I think in the case of my dad, it's like he both was a conservative military guy but also had like you know, an interest in the arts. So it's this like weird intersection of like a guy who I think really insecure, really sensitive, as this type of guy often is. So it's a lot of like I think he like alienated a lot of like friends and friend groups he would have. And so it really came down to like the nuclear unit to be like, I'm cool, right? Like I'm smart, right? I know about a bunch of stuff, right? You guys are listening to me, right? The food is good tonight, right? It's not the chicken's not dry, is it? Cause I'm pissed if it is, like, you know what I mean? Or whatever. And so I think like to that end, it was very, like, I think what you just said was interesting to me that like, if your mom was mad at you, you'd know. I think in our case, it's like our parents didn't have a great handle on like what is pertinent information for our children to have and like what is going to like be like a lesson that's like additive to their life and sort of what is just an opportunity to like express like my maybe personal frustration in any direction that's available. So I think that I knew when my parents were mad, and then it's after some time, you're like, maybe they're mad at me. Maybe this is a big deal. Maybe it's not, but they definitely have this level of steam they need to let out right now. And so that's the information I have access to. You know what I mean?
Okay.
I feel like this is all sad.
No, this is really working because you're saying it with a really, again, a self-possessed, factual. I don't get the sense that you are shaking in a corner right now. You see what I'm saying?
I'm simply not. I'm simply not.
You're simply sitting there in your radio station.
You're not a tiny wet dog.
You're not a tiny wet dog.
You're not a tiny wet dog.
No. I am safe. I've surrounded myself with computers and camera equipment so that nothing can make me bummed out.
Okay, wait. What was your dad doing in the military? Like, what or what military? What branch is he in?
He was in the Air Force. He was in the Air Force in the 80s, by the way. So sort of like Top Gun time.
It's giving Top Gun. That's how he hoodwinked her. That's how he hoodwinked her. Because he was giving American Top Gun energy.
What was his call sign?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm like, oh, what's a riff about him being mean? I got nothing. But yeah.
But like, I see. Yeah. So it's like, that's the peak of being in the Air Force. Like, that is the coolest shit you could be doing.
I think in some way. But if you're trying to be like a tough military guy, like, it's a little bit like, hang on a sec. Like, you can't have these like grizzled military man stories. Like, you guys are roiled up playing volleyball. Like, I'm not intimidated by you a little bit. You had a great time, it looks like, doing cool plane stunts. What the fuck? Top Gun looks fun. No, yeah, I think he was in the Air Force. He was in OSI, which I think is like if the Navy has like NCIS, it's like the Air Force version of that. But oh. Yeah,
oh, okay,
pitch that to CBS.
I mean, CBS.
Yeah, exactly.
20 years. Isn't OSI the secret thing in the Venture Brothers?
I don't remember. Yeah. What's in the Maybe. Venture Brothers?
But anyway, but you said he was like a sensitive like.
Art lover.
That's not that crazy. The CIA did a lot of funding of, in the 50s, a lot of funding of arts kinds of things. Like, they started the Paris Review.
The CIA started the Paris Review?
Yes. Well, they had
Oh, Lord.
I mean, they were doing, because they were trying to, like, promote American types of art.
I see.
Like, Jackson Pollock, and they, like, sponsored a bunch of, like, art shows with
American artists. The CIA was cute. The CIA yes. was studying abroad.
Well, at the same time, they're also overthrowing Democratic.
Yeah, that's what they were doing while they were studying abroad. They were like, let's go abroad, let's Emily in Paris, and then overthrow this shit.
Oh, hey, exactly. Emily in Paris season 5 should be, she's a
an operative.
CIA cutout.
But I want to... How did you and your siblings, as you said, it had been a couple of tense Christmases, and then you sat down with your brother. What did that look like? Was that you, like, have you been in therapy? Was it a conscious, like, we've got to bury the hatchet? Or was it just like you got into a fight and then it just kind of went there?
It was that I had like been in therapy for a little while. So like, okay. So like pandemic gave me just enough space to stop being like, I got to do stand up every night and then I exist.
So
kind of was like, wait, like, what am I exactly? And so then, you know, obviously you have a huge mental breakdown. Of course you go to therapy. Mm-hmm. They're like, you have bipolar depression. You got to get on meds. You're sort of cycling through some meds that are working and not working and whatever. Absolutely chill time.
It's like a cool, fun time. But now imagine it's 2023 to 2024. People have decided the pandemic is over and they expect you to do stuff.
Exactly.
That's me. Yeah. So now I'm supposed to be doing stuff again in this cycle and I still ain't hit that right spot.
Back to work. What could possibly go wrong? Vibes. Yeah. So I've been in therapy a little bit. I was like talking about, you know, my mom and stuff in childhood and whatever. And I was like, really? I don't know about that. That's crazy. Let me talk to my mom and see if I notice any of this stuff. And then like right away, she's like, it's like, I know that my brother and sister's situations at this point are like, my sister had a really rough time getting out of the house. Like, she had a much messier exit from the house than I did. I really just kind of shoved it all down, played the like, I'm doing everything you guys want me to do, still really eating it as far as the criticism, but I didn't do anything wrong. Like, I'm always trying to be as difficult to criticize as possible. I don't know that I'm doing a good job, but I'm so scared of doing a bad job that it comes off like a good job. So I think that, you know, my sister kind of saw that and was like, well, if that's the reward for doing a good job, like, who gives a shit? And so she really, I think that she had some rough sledding, you know, on the exit. And then, oh man, there's just like so many loose stories about this. I feel like I'm speaking in generalities, but something that happened probably when my sister was like 17, 18 and I had just moved to LA was my dad found out that he had like a daughter that he didn't know about through like 23andMe or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Who was like, I think like was like 41 already.
What? Wow.
And like she has a kid and stuff. And so that was like an interesting, like, whatever. And so, but then also separately from this, it's like that was before my mom. And do I have suspicions that he probably knew about that? Of course I do. Dude, does that matter? Who cares? But yeah, so it's like he had still been cheating on my mom, like sort of the entire marriage, the entire like 20 whatever years it was. Uh-huh. And so it's like my sister, I think the thing that like really happened was that my sister was living there, but didn't go to college. But was kind of like, I'm going to figure out a job or something instead. And my parents were giving a really hard time about that. And then basically like my sister caught my dad cheating, like when she like came home one day, and you know, this is like the 20th time this shit has happened, but so she like told my mom, which like led to my mom being like, last straw, we're getting divorced. And so my dad really like blamed my sister for that, and in pretty short order they like kicked her out. And then she went to live with I guess, what is it, like our half sister? How does that work? Like my dad's daughter, the 41-year-old daughter.
The 41-year-old.
Exactly. So my sister goes to New Jersey, lives with her, and then, you know, I think she's...
What part of Jersey?
Cherry Hill, like South Jersey over the bridge from Philly.
Yeah.
Yeah, so like, I don't know. It's like my sister has a rough couple of years. She's in a bad relationship. A lot of, you know, just like kind of acting out the stuff that she's seen kind of thing. So it's like, at this point, I know that my sister's in an objectively rough situation that has not been very well helped by my parents. And then my brother, I know enough to know that it's like, we're still talking enough that I'm like, he worked at a TGI Fridays in our town. He transferred to the one in Philly. He became a bartender there. He started bartending at other restaurants in Old City. He like worked his way up to be like the GM of one of those restaurants. And then he kind of sweat equitied his way into a restaurant group where he's like a like percentage like owner of like four bar restaurants in Philly. It's, I mean, and he's like what? He's like maybe 26, 27 now. It's like, he's really young.
Yeah, he's fancy.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
This guy's a genius.
Yeah.
And so it's like, he's in the middle of doing all that. And he like went to Temple. He actually graduated, you know, he didn't like bail, you know? So I was kind of like, damn, like, I really feel like actually all things considered, these guys are like, absolutely sweating it out, like they're working really hard. And it's like, yeah, it was like one time I was on the phone with my mom and it's like she was just eviscerating them, like, again, like talking shit in a way that like younger reckless friendships, like I said, like you just kind of really tee off on people, or almost the way that you talk shit on like reality television characters that are being annoying that
yes.
week.
Yes
And I really kind of blew up and like freaked out, because it was this thing where I was like, this is exactly what my therapist said that you would say, that I said that you wouldn't say, and now here you are saying it. And she was very like, what? Like, whoa, like what? I was like,
you're talking about me to someone else? How dare you?
Well, yeah. And also it's like, you're saying that I would do something wrong. Just completely like, you know, sort of like faux mystified by it, like whatever. And so this sort of happened a few more times. I was like, I don't want to talk for the next couple of months or whatever. I need some space to like figure this out. And then like a little bit of time would go by and then she'd be like, why are you ignoring me? Like, why? I'm like, we had a conversation about, you know what I mean? And then she's like hitting up my friends. She's hitting up my girlfriend trying to
establish. No. Like,
yeah, she's like replying to Instagram stories and like texting people who I'm friends with that she has access to while I'm not, you know, really hitting her back. So it was a lot of iterations of overstepping and then sort of still really going in on the siblings before I started to go to them and be like, hey, this is gonna sound crazy. I don't want to pressure you guys to like not talk to our mom or anything, but like, I'm noticing this kind of wild. You see if you notice anything, but do what you want. You know what I mean? I'm not here. Cause I knew that like, I really felt like I might make myself the black sheep by not talking to my mom as much, but I'm willing to do that instead of trying to push them into, here's what you got to think about this other person. Cause that was the problem for me in the first place.
Right.
Really quickly, they came to the same conclusions and we got super close. And ultimately, we do not talk to my mom anymore. And then years before that, and that's been a couple of years, but years before that, when my parents were getting divorced and all of the, like, my mom gave me way too much information about every, like, you know, like cheating, weird sexual proclivity, like way more information than I ever should have had in the wake of the divorce. That was kind of like after years of getting that information, growing up or whatever. And so like my dad like called me and, you know, he's a pretty bad alcoholic. Hey, I'm just kind of really teeing off at this point. I'm just letting it rip at this point. But yeah, you know, and I was just like, hey, man, like if you want to kind of get back into the good graces of like, you know, me and my siblings, like you're going to have to like apologize for some of this shit. You're going to have to apologize for not being a great dad to my brother and sister and to our mom for all of this. And he was just kind of like, well, that's not your business. And I was like, yeah, but I'm kind of in the family, so it is a little
bit.
It is.
It actually very much is your business.
Yeah. And but he was like, all right. And then he did hang up and then did not talk to me for 8 years. Until I thought that like maybe he had like lost my contact info or something. I'm like, he's bad at technology, like maybe he can't reach me, so that's kind of a bummer. But if he wanted to, he would, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then, hey, not to be self-aggrandizing, talk about credits or anything like that, but the day that I got nominated for an Emmy,
no,
he messaged me on Facebook and was like, congratulations on your nomination. So it's like, oh, you could have done it the whole time.
Oh, God. It's so funny because I was going to ask you, because this is something too, I did, like, where like kind of as you ascend and become more public, where does the family kind of come out, you know, given that you have been estranged? But you said that shit and I said, no, Becky, he did not come out on the Emmy nomination.
How is this? This is like the standard story. It's just, it's like, have you talked about this on, you have, right?
On this pod? I don't know. I might save it for the Patreon because I'd be putting a lot of the business behind the paywall. But I would just say this. I have a specific African last name. If you have that last name, we are related. And as Naomi Akparagon becomes a name that exists in things.
As it becomes the number one hit for Akparagon.
It's right, like right. People roll up
with the woodwork.
People roll up in a way that you did not know they would roll up.
Yes.
You know, and social media, of course, too. Like, so. I got a couple best. You know, Andy and I got married, and like I put up a video. You know, like after, of course, and then it was like, I was very sad to not be there. You know, like from something where it's like, but you and I have not spoken in so many years.
We're estranged.
I know. I was like, did you think? Because this is the thing I keep saying. Okay, the party I'm paying too much money for is not the party where you get to show up and have a reconciliation. Not on my time.
Yes.
Not on my time.
No, okay. No. Chicken or fish, not up to you, pal.
I mean, what are we talking about? And that's what these people thought I was going to do. They thought I was going to pay for them to eat some food and ruin my day.
Absolutely not. No.
By the way, it was that's chicken wild. Or a vegetarian or a vegan.
Hey, and understandable. Leaving the pescatarians out to dry.
I reluctantly had.
I know
chicken.
I had to fight him on chicken. I go, Andy, we need a protein for the people who ain't about that life. Anyway, yes. So okay.
Yes. What was it? Was there any inkling before quarantine started and you had to confront this? Is, by the way, literally almost episode after episode of this show, when we ask the question about like, oh, when'd you get into therapy, almost everyone's like, well, the pandemic started and I had no choice but to reflect. Yes, the abyss I had been running from finally caught up to me and swallowed me whole, and I had to figure out some way to claw out of it. Was there any inkling before that, like, hey, maybe I should deal with these issues? Or were you really like, was it like, if I get up every night on stage,
I moved to California and I become a star, it'll be okay.
I can create like that's like going on stage is like I can create a magic barrier every night that keeps the darkness outside, like splashing against this invisible barrier.
The barrier was so powerful that I too was on the outside of it and had no idea.
Darkness were both like looking at each other. Like, how do I get in?
Like, it was to the point where, like, I was getting into arguments with comedians on the, like, you know, comedians are all fucked up. I was like, actually, not all of them. I'm the most normal man in the world.
Like, oh, my God. Wow. The sickness was deep.
Wow.
I was truly at a point of, like people would like it was all so like pushed down because you know the key to a lot of like my like stories and experiences and whatever, it's like it was so colored by like having a really weird family situation that was not just sort of the math of like my dad's white and my mom's Muslim, what's up with that, like, you know, because you can sit and like do that math once you realize like people do jokes like that, but when it really came to like what was your experience, I really hit this wall where I was just kind of like, I don't know, like, I guess nothing ever really happened to me. Like, it's just kind of like I've like blocked out so much that I'm like, well, I was born, it says on my birth certificate, and then I started doing stand up and now I'm talking to you. And you know what I mean? Like, and so that was, you know, helpful in my ability to like be able to talk about my life and like contextualize things. But yeah, before that, I was just kind of like, no, dude, some people are normal, actually.
Well, but I think that's true, though, because I do feel like you came right to L.A. When did you come to L.A.? Because I'm like, I feel like I saw you do stand-up before. Like, before, where I was like, oh, yeah, he's giving white dudes loving life. And then I think there was a pivot, meaning, and that's just a pivot of like, I mean, again, I don't know if that was a therapy or just, you know, obviously it's been years and then I saw you again years later. So like, I couldn't, but I was like, he's a white dude. He's having fun. Bless. We need right. those every year. We need some fresh yes. ones who are just like, isn't life fun?
We need a Gen Indeed. Z Seinfeld.
We need a Gen Z Seinfeld.
Exactly. Yeah.
And
so, yeah
but then
yeah.
later, like, yeah, when it was at that show, yeah, it's CJ's work. And I was just like, okay, darkness, my old friend. What's going on?
Yeah. I started letting it rip pretty good. I think that I just didn't have access to that information before. And then it was like, well, I have to write about this because this is like what's going on. Same as like, you know, I got rejected on Tinder was like also a subject for years or something. But yeah. Wait, was that my bad? What was your question, though?
Was that also meaning the kind of the therapy? Was it also the did that affect the pivot in material?
Because that oh, is for sure.
I'm, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That's
yeah,
what for... you were asking. I was asking if so, like, what is it? What is the moment where you're like, I got to confront this stuff?
I think it's just like in therapy, like having somebody tell me like week in, week out, like that's actually not normal stuff. And I think that I had like my whole life been like, man, it's a shame that like this is all my fault. And I had the most like normal opportunities to have a regular life ever. And I just whiffed it because I'm such a weirdo. Like I wish that I could sort of find out that there's a kind of mental health diagnosis and that there had been something that happened in my childhood that explains why I sort of feel this way. But unfortunately, that's just me. And everybody else has the exact same experience as me, and they're just so much better at dealing with it. Damn, I'm jealous. You know what I mean? And so I think that like once that clicked, I was like, oh my God, I really gotta like live in this now and kind of like figure out how that feels or whatever. You know what I mean? Like I felt like I had permission to be like, oh, it's like okay to feel super strange about some things. And I think now like I feel a lot better because there are all these things that I'm like, yeah, that's bad, but you know, it feels a little bit better when it's not like, well, you shouldn't have done that when you were four, you idiot. You know what I mean?
Now can I ask, so your girlfriend is no longer sitting behind you. I am curious as to when yes. you guys got together, kind of in this process of, you know, getting what sounds to me like just like getting honest. You know what I mean? And so where did y'all connect in this process?
So I think, yes, so we started dating, I'm 29, we started dating when I was 22. So we've been together we've been together for almost like 7 years now.
Oh my God, and now I gotta talk to her, because I said she done got with you when you was a whole ass mess. Talk yes. about, I'm fine, I'm normal, and I want to do comedy. It's like, yes. oh, good Lord, poor girl.
Yes, I go to the open mics and talk about how everything's fine.
oh, yeah, God.
I think that actually the first domino in the, like, that's actually not normal was Desi being like, you know, I'm not here to tell you, I'm not a professional, I'm not a therapist, I'm not whatever, but I assure you, life is not supposed to be this hard. And I was like, what? All right. I know that's not true, but let me talk to somebody professional just to not even prove you wrong, but just to be like, that's very nice, but it's me. And then, you know, she was right. But I do think that it's that thing of like, if I was single or if I, you know, was just like dating and I sort of kind of hit this point where I needed to confront stuff in order to change, and I had like picked the road of like, I'll just start dating somebody else who hasn't noticed this yet, and then I'll hang out with them for a year and a half until it's undeniable and rinse and repeat. I think that maybe I wouldn't have noticed all this stuff. So I do think that it is like her patience and compassion that kind of like forced me to be like, you know what, maybe I should love myself random. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. So yeah.
Wow, 7 years is a long time, especially like a 7 years with a lot of.
That's only half of us.
I know, but they're so. They're younger.
That's true.
And it's like a lot to also do. Because think about that. That is Mecki being like, I'm leaving college. I'm going to LA. I'm going to try to be a star. Then I'm going to do stand up. And then I'm going to actually get a little successful. But then also, did you know the world was going to go to shit and I was going to not talk to my dad for 8 years? Like, yeah. A lot happened in those seven.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, I think. My girlfriend at 22 was as repressed or somewhere right. in the same vicinity as me. So it was just two repressed people just and just shoving everything down and not being honest about anything. Yeah.
Yeah. Sort of the performance of everything is chill. Yeah.
Until it falls apart.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think that that's, you know, like she has great parents and, you know, not that she doesn't have sort of dimension and things, but I think that it was enough of a good setup in her childhood that she was able to be like, hey, what is happening to you, dude? Yuck. What? chill. So yeah, I think that was tremendously helpful.
But that it does sound helpful. And also though, it sounds good that again, I'd love to hear her side that you didn't push her away. Do you know what I mean? Cause I feel like it'd be very easy
for the listener. She's back now.
Okay. I know.
Yeah. She has returned. But also, headphones on.
Like, Desi, come to the mic, girl. Cause I need to know why you stayed in this shit.
Cause I just want to say it. Cause like very Heisenberg-y. Heisenberg, the scientist, not Walter White.
Yeah.
If things change, it's because there's now an observer.
Aha. In the conversation. Yes. Yeah.
But in a very, very real way. Cause I think that before that, it's like that classic thing that you do where you're like, I want to date somebody that like reminds me of my parents' relationship. And I want to seek approval from, you know, guys that remind me of like how my dad was always, you know, kind of moving the goalposts and being like, you really are only going to be able to achieve this with my help. And you're not you can't do it on your own. Sorry.
Right.
You're just not enough.
And you went into Hollywood for what reason? Like, how does that match up?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. No, it was a convenient thing to be able to surround myself with like, you know, as many like bro dude stand-ups as possible and just be kind of like, this is exactly the male figure I'm used to. Like, thanks for the advice where I need to be more like you and never can. Thank you. Yeah, so that I think that sort of like adjusting that perspective of like, you know, what is true is critical of me, you know what I mean? And that's the only way I keep my feet on the ground is like having somebody really directly pointing out everything about me that is
wrong,
either bad or different than them.
Yeah.
And that's
very much how
you needed a straight man to your weird character in the sketch of your life.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Pointing out the odd thing.
Yeah. Yeah,
exactly.
Why are you doing said thing? Yeah, but no, I think I feel that same way. There's something like, again, like what is critical is truth is something that very much resonates with me. Like literally, weren't we like, I was in the house, we're in the apartment a couple days ago, and I was just like singing around the house as you do. And then Andy said, you have a good voice. And I said, I'm sorry, I'll shut up. Because what I heard was, he said you have a good voice, which I literally, my brain heard is like, okay, lady, you're singing, we get it.
Yes.
That is literally what I heard. And then Andy was like,
here's the compliment you were desperately fishing for, you maniac. And it's like, what? What?
Andy was like, what? He goes, I don't understand how that was the response to the thing that I said. Like, and it was just interesting. It's like my brain couldn't, the words were not the words. The words were something else entirely.
The words were not the words.
Yes. Yes. I think that I had so many versions of that. Somebody would just be like, you know, like, how's your weekend? I'm like, so you're going to use that to destroy me then, huh? And it's like, what? And it's like, oh, no, you want to know how my weekend was? You can pick out the flaw and save it for 2 months from now when you bring it up and say what a loser I am. Is that what it is? Is that what this all is? And people are like, hey, man, like, I'm actually not going to be able to be your friend for 10 years. Good luck.
I think this gives me a lot more insight into you now.
Andy, you know we don't be having these straight white boys on this podcast, and the fact that now Mecki is your insight into me is upsetting.
Well, just through this conversation, just hearing
like somehow
of that.
I'm able to contextualize and understand you now that it's coming out of my face, who's on someone else's head.
But no, it's hearing Naomi react to you,
right,
where I'm
right.
like, okay. I see.
Yeah.
But just like, I happen to be like very, I have a bad memory for things.
Yes.
And I more remember the feeling I get. Like, I don't remember specific, like, one of the reasons I'm alienated from other white male comedians is they sit there and they quote their favorite Simpsons thing. And I just remember, I'm like, oh, I loved these seasons. But I can't, I just can't quote a thing. I can't sit there and quote Austin Powers with you. Sorry.
Right. Groovy, I feel like movie quotes are, especially, especially in the 2000s, it's like to not be able to interface via movie quotes is probably one of the most isolating.
So I just remember the feeling I had from, which again, before therapy, when I couldn't even access my emotions, this was all very isolating and just living in, you know, when Magneto was, when they captured him and they put him in that plastic prison underneath the Pentagon or whatever was. That was my life. And then Professor X would come and play chess with me every once in a while.
At the time, you couldn't even remember that specific scene. People would be like, do you remember when Magneto's in the plastic prison? And you're like, X-Men was a good movie.
Who's Magneto? What's going on?
But it helps you.
That's the thing. It helps me, like, these things. And I'm like, oh, right, you say this now. And I'm like, oh, right, I just remember feeling quizzical.
in the moment. But like, yeah, that's the thing. It's like, I remember the details, which is also what's like, and I think I'm sure I'm like, that is also a stand up. It's like, what are you if not the stenographer of the of like your own life? Because you're like, I got to bring this up. Okay. I need to remember these exact details in the exact turn of phrase. Because later, when I don't feel mentally ill, it'll be funny.
Which is a tool from years of defense, from years of being like, everything I say is another piece of a gun that this person's building to point at me soon.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, my mom, and it's
very
funny,
book depository.
My mom is a lawyer, but also she's that, but not a rich lawyer, a lawyer for like family court in the Bronx. Mm-hmm. So it's always like, sometimes every time I say that, I go, oh my God, I'm telling too much of her life. But she like, but she's a lawyer, but like to me, I'm like, my thing was like, I was never right. Like my mom literally argues for a living. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, the prosecution does not rest up in this.
Yeah,
bitch,
that's
gotta
be terrifying. You do something wrong, you disagree. You just hear like dun dun dun.
There was one time I lied about eating something. Like she was like, did you eat that thing? And it was like, oh my God, so me to be secretly eating. And I ate, and then she goes, and I was like, no, I didn't. And she goes, I know you're lying. Your eyes shifted to the left.
Oh,
she literally said that shit to me. And
she's,
I did lie about it, Mickey. I had eaten it.
She's Fox's lie to me. She's what's
fully,
that guy's name? Oh
she
my God.
She had it. And it was just like
Tim Roth.
That was it.
Tim Roth. Yeah, she's Tim Roth. Lie to me.
She was giving me a Tim Roth. And I was like, and it was just like, yep. She was like, she's like, yeah, is it to the left? And I said, okay, well, thank you. I don't know. Like
I
could never. I
think that's bullshit, by the way.
Yeah, but also she knew I ate it, right? Like it was just me and her in the house. She's like, who else ate it?
You shifted slightly.
This exact thing is the like my thing with my dad is like he loves saying stuff like he'd do half a story and then say he couldn't tell you the rest of it kind of thing, like you know, or like he would say like, you know, like and I'm not even talking about like joking around tongue in cheek, like he's like genuinely the guy who's like, there are like four household objects in this room I could kill you with right now. It's like, okay, Top Gun, like, yeah, fucking right. But like there was a time I remember, there's a way you can like full fingerprints like without like a lab kit that's like sort of the old school way of doing
tape,
it, and I remember exactly, and like airplane glue or whatever it is, and I remember one time my dad like interrogation style moving my sister to tears, and this is a light story, this is a fun one, a lot of the stuff was like really not fun, you can't even make a joke out of it unfortunately, but it was that a candy bar had been consumed and none of us would admit to it, and it my sister just was the first to buckle. And the tears started flowing because he was threatening to fingerprint the candy wrapper that he dug out of the trash and was explaining like the process he would use and blah, blah, blah. And all along, it turned out that my mom made it. She was still on the way home from work, so couldn't cop to it. But yeah, I mean, I think that like both me and my brothers rooms were a sort of if you've ever seen Heavyweights, just kind of a like candy bars and wrappers like stuffed into weird corners of our beds and whatever, because yeah, there was a lot of, you know, sort of surveillance state vibes when it came to living your life.
The Abu Ghraib of Chambersburg.
It's true. It's the classic line I always tell.
How you really loosen an audience up.
Exactly.
And then it's really fun from there. Fun from there. Real litmus test.
Yeah. Wait, Mickey, do you have time for at least one audience advice question?
Yeah, I have plenty. We're on hiatus. It's Saturday. I got nothing going on. It's really sad. Help.
All right. Why don't we take a quick break? And when we get back, we're going to answer your advice question.
I love it.
Hold up. Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with Plush Care. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
We're back. With Mecki Leeper here to help you handle your scandal. Somehow made somebody stay in love with him for 7 whole years when he probably should have been left in a corner somewhere to grapple.
No. No. I like the fact.
No, I do. I love it, though.
I like the fact that there was someone with empathy in your life.
No, I absolutely love it. But it's just funny. Again, whenever you're hearing a relationship story, I'm always like, what is it for the other person to be on the other side of that? Because we say that a lot. Like, I am a lot emotionally. And sometimes I worry about you, Andrew.
Oh.
I want to make sure you're taking care of yourself and getting what you need.
Well, I jump on the exercise bike 40 minutes a day and play Prince of Persia.
He does. So. And that's his self-care. Some Prince of Persia on the bike.
Pretty fun game.
And I try to just let him have his time, you know, before I start to cry again, just so he gets a break. I just want him to have a break.
I wonder if my girlfriend is sort of doing the same thing. She plays Animal Crossing every day for a few hours, hits her dailies, goes on the subreddit, researches if there's anything that she could be doing to decorate more efficiently. And then watches,
she just turned around. She can hear you, and she said, "Don't you talk about my business."
Yeah. And then sort of watches 45 episodes of Below Deck. I'm like, what does that mean?
She emphatically nodded. Yeah. And I'm like, but if that's what you need. But I just say, yeah, because it's not them. I was like, you know... Because like, as you said, it's like everyone has their shit, right? So it's more about like, how does our opposing issues kind of like, where do they dovetail? Where do we kind of meet up and make it work? But also recognizing the extent to which, you know, we've got to be good back, Mecki. We've got to be good back. We can't let our sickness overtake us and forget to return the favor.
That's a point of discipline. That is a point of discipline. I think that my girlfriend's parents, similar. You know, people that are, it's a lead with polite. You're not seeing the cracks, but then you grow up, you live your life. I got to stay polite. I can't show the cracks. That's a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
And so that's sort of the push and pull. Maybe this is a two archetypes that sort of fit together.
Perhaps.
Person that is flailing, person that is guarded. Pretty good.
Yeah. Ooh. This is, well.
Wow.
Wow. Well. Wow. Okay. Oh. Now this time, Mecki, you get the copay. Okay. You get the copay this episode.
should we?
Every episode, someone
we award a copay. One of us the copay.
Yes. Whoever's the most helpful gets the copay.
I'm pushing on my temple because that is half a good idea. And also, I'm like,
forced to consider.
Want to lean into this?
I think we should. I mean, the copay is literally $5, probably in the form of a Visa gift card. I mean, that's not crazy.
That WGA podcast insurance interaction. My God.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Should I submit my? I never submit my stuff to the. I don't even know if my therapist is on. It takes.
Oh, the insurance. You should try.
Oh, the super bill thing.
Yeah, super bill.
God, I'm so bad with the super bill. I could buy like a car or something.
I know. I want to do the super bill.
I started off with her when it was sliding scale, and then she started her own thing, and then she's like, "Hey, I think you should actually pay more money for this." And I was like, "Okay."
The scale really slid in the other direction.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. I was like, "All right, I don't have children. I can't really."
Well, she's like a good drug dealer. She got you hooked. She gave you a taste. And then she said, I got to up my prices.
Yeah. And it was like, yeah, well, we unpacked the rest of this shit. Do you want to put it away or not?
She's like, I can't tell you the other half of the story until you give me.
She's like, we did the Freud. We'll never get to the Jung if you don't cough up the cash.
Exactly.
You'll never find out what your dreams mean. Okay, we get questions from all over. We get questions from Instagram. I'm gonna say not so much Twitter anymore. We have rarely gotten. I don't know what it's been in the last year or so that has made it so that people are not DMing us on that platform much.
I don't know.
Something.
Strange.
Yeah. Anyway, we get questions from Instagram, Gmail, but voicemail is of course our favorite. Naomi, what is the phone number?
323-524-7839. Now, as always, I need a log line. I need your pronouns. You got a 3-minute limit. Okay, you got to keep it right and tight. You got to give me the top line.
And I say bullet point it beforehand.
Yeah, because what happens sometimes, Mickey, you know, people, they come in, they give us they start off with a compliment. They're telling everything. Then they don't get to the damn question. They get
this always
off.
Happens on, dude, Watch What Happens Live. They're like, hi, Andy. And then it's like, hi. And they're like, hi, it's Ariana. It's like, all right, dude. I know you're watching them. I'm also watching them. Ask the question.
Yeah. It's like it's giving Q&A where the person comes up and rambles for about 2 minutes.
Yeah. I'm after not a saying, screening. Like, you know, yes. After screening.
This is not our listeners, but I'm saying that because
energy.
Of Naomi's direction.
Yeah,
that mm-hmm. we avoid that.
Yes, that's why I give the direction because I said, you know, we've got to utilize and, you know,
yes.
I really noticed that in the second act that you change the camera angle slightly.
Yeah, right.
I do a lot of the same things when I'm making
my own films
on the, yes. Films. Like, yes, my okay. first question is I'm a huge fan. Like, well, that's not something.
So, okay, and one other thing that I thought of, too, because some people have said, like, well, we don't live in the U.S., we can't call in.
Right.
You can make a voice memo and email it to us.
That's true. That's your option for our international listeners, because, Mickey, we do have an international listenership, okay? There was a Swedish drunk person who said, help me, will I get fired for my job in Sweden, because yes. I was drunk and belligerent. And I said, maybe in Sweden they'll let it slide.
England.
But, yeah.
Portugal.
Yeah, they're coming Australia. To us. They're coming to us from everywhere.
Feels fine.
The Netherlands.
Yeah. Okay, now, what's the first one?
Okay.
I think we should go for a juicy, but I don't know.
Well, I don't know what's juicy and what's not. I just thought, oh, this would be fun. And I didn't really know much about Mackie. So, which one are you pointing at, Naomi? Top?
Maybe.
All right, let's try this one.
Let's see how it is.
Hi, Naomi. Hi, Andy. I'm ready to open my heart and loosen my butt. My name is Amy. I am old... just riding hard in my 40s. I have the most incredible partner in the entire world. He's smart and funny and has an incredible job and is going to, like, retire in his 40s, okay? So, like, brag, am I right? I'll personally die on the job. But, like, for him, fantastic, am I right? So we have an incredible relationship. Sex is super good. We communicate pretty well. But my boyfriend is a big, big baby. He's never struggled in his entire life. So any, like, minor inconvenience will just throw him off to where he has, like, titanic toddler meltdowns. Now, mind you, he's never taken that out on me. He's never said word one to me. But, like, he is a very, very... grumpy South Jersey Italian, and there's still a lot going on there. And I don't really know how to deal with it. I normally just sort of go, I'm going to let you deal with this. I'm going to walk away. But, like, oh my God, it drives me crazy. Like, I have raised a whole child. I have a child in his 20s. I feel like I am infinitely patient. And I, like, am very nurturing and I'm kind of a nester but at the same time, like, I work full time and I'm a union organizer, so I'm never not working, I guess. So for me to have to deal with these, like, really borderline childish tantrums is just, like, getting so old.
Tantrum.
And, like, I want to spend the rest of my life with this man, but
what?
how do you
sort of bookended by almost a different
in their
experience.
Own internal nonsense. And mind you, he does go to therapy, but like for some reason, this is the one thing that like persists. Andy, Naomi, my butt is the loosest it has ever been. Please guide me. Thank you so much. I love your show. Bye.
Wow. Okay.
I'm gonna leave that silence in there. I'm gonna leave the exasperated silence in there, just so everyone knows.
But Mekki has a thought immediately. Mekki's ready. What? Mekki.
Okay. First of all, this man is Italian. This is a little bit your fault. You did this.
Wait. What were you thinking?
To Zeus?
I'm saying he's Italian. You know what you got yourself into. This man is Italian. That's part of it. He's Italian. He's Italian. So I don't know what you were thinking. But he's Italian. Now, I think it's wild when people sort of pose something like this. So they're like, I'm in a happy relationship. There are no problems. Everything's good. The only thing is the way that his behavior is I can't stand it. And also it's bad. And I work all the time to avoid it. But other than that, I want to spend the rest of my life with this man. I'm kind of like, what are you talking about, dude? Yeah, he has to chill out. He also, dude, Italian guy about to retire in his 40s. I know you joke that he's a cop, but I'm kind of like, is this guy a cop?
I know. I'm like, is he a cop? I was like, Jersey Italian, retiring in his 40s. I said,
I don't think a union. Well, I don't know.
I was like, you can organize or cop?
A union organizer cop seemed antithetical. Yeah.
I know.
Because the cop's like, hey, I just beat up a bunch of your friends that were striking the other day.
You would think. Yeah. I mean, Amy, a union organizer who listens to the pod, I know you're on the right side. And so I like you. I'm on your team, which is why when you say
could work for the post office. Sorry to interrupt.
That's
could
true.
Work for the
he could work for the post office. You could retire early from the post office. That's a real good get. Or a garbage man. You could retire early off of that one too.
I feel like he could be an evil tech person. We don't have to pigeonhole him into these stereotypically Italian professions.
I was just thinking of like good jobs you can get where you get a
retire early
after
yeah.
20.
Yeah, yeah.
I was just thinking when you retire
people,
early on.
Like tech people, they work until, you know, they've used up all their son's blood or whatever.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
They just keep amassing money.
It's just funny that it's like an Italian dude in Jersey and it's like, so he has a Hey Arnold type job, obviously. Like he must.
I was like, what else do you get to retire off of 40 at?
There isn't a lot. Yeah. There aren't a ton of jobs.
In your 40s. But this kind of issue of, here's the one thing, Aim, you said you like the pot. You didn't give me an example, boo. I need a couple specific examples. Are we talking...
She used the word tantrum, though.
I know, and I'm taking tantrum, but I guess what I want a sense of is, because you said he's never faced any adversity, so like when he comes up against something, he has a tantrum. I hear that. But I guess I need to know, what is he coming up against? Are we talking, this line is too fucking long in this Kroger, and now he's like pissed about it? Is it, no, you can't park there, sir? And then he's yelling at like a valet dude? Like, you know what I mean? Because I need to kind of know if this, and because she's already said
LA, by the way, Kroger. Or how West Coast. You should have said Pathmark.
West Coast?
I think so. You should have said Pathmark.
Okay, Andy, don't shame me for not having the right damn grocery store name off the tip of my fucking tongue when all I've been doing is ordering groceries for the last 4 fucking years. You see the way he do, Mekki, in front of company? Giant.
Listen, this is tough. I'm like, are you guys okay? Something like that? A shot like that?
Weiss. I don't think Weiss is New Jersey.
Weiss Markets.
I think Weiss is
dude.
Yeah, that's a Weiss man. Andy's a Weiss man. But,
oh, yeah, I worked
giant.
In all of them.
He worked in all of them.
I did Weiss, and then I had long hair at the time because of Nirvana. And
oh,
they
wow.
wanted me to cut my hair, and I took a stand.
Bagger
a stand.
Or produce? I'm trying to read you right now.
I was everything. Oh, at Weiss, you did everything. I collected the carts.
Oh,
I was
wow.
a cashier. I swept, did the dairy.
Yeah.
Blocked
you know, at Target,
the
they make you work at the Starbucks. Isn't that crazy?
That
they
is
do?
Crazy.
Those are Target employees. Those are not Starbucks employees.
Wow. So they don't get all the... cool benefits.
I don't think they do.
That Starbucks people get like getting fired if you try to organize.
cool band.
Yes.
No, but okay. But here's the thing. Or is because she also said too, right? When he gets like this, I usually am just like, okay, I gotta go. Like I remove myself because I need to know how this is manifesting. Because for me, because you said he's already in therapy. This I would say is maybe then okay. If he's already in therapy, which means he's open to talking. He's open to hearing someone else. This is a couples therapy issue. This is one where y'all go together and you open it up.
Right.
Because this may not be something, because like, Because again, when you're sitting in therapy, the cat just jumped and just anyway. When you are in your own therapy, just talking about your own shit, you probably don't necessarily talk about the things maybe in the way that they happened, right? Because like we're talking about his reaction in the moment, which he may not be bringing to the table in a therapeutic setting. Whereas what y'all need is like you and him go in. And I know you busy. I know you out here working, you know, 9 to 9, honey. But I think if y'all tried, because this may be something that just it's not necessarily forever, but you know what I mean? Like, is this a 6-session situation? We don't know. But we're kind of like, hey, when you do this, this is how I feel about it. Can we like talk about why you acting a damn fool up in here? Like, and just have a safe space to do it. Cause of course, in the moment, if he's having a tantrum, you can't reason with him and like, it'll just make whatever worse. But as you said, you can't stay in it. You can't be like, hey, I need you to not blow up every time things of this magnitude happen.
Tantrum. Yeah. I you should not hear the word tantrum with an adult.
I know.
It's pretty tough. I will say I witnessed plenty of my dad's tantrums and plenty of my mom doing Zumba into late hours of the night to avoid them. And I think that I look like there were tantrums that were childish in a way that you can't describe as anything other than a tantrum. And I'm curious, Amy. It is Amy, yes?
Yes, Amy.
If Amy, this is like similar, like I remember long line of the Kroger, once there was a line, this sort of happened a few times, but my dad would often vow never to return to a place, sometimes to the service worker there, other times just to us, a lot of times in the car. But one time the line to check out was too long at Walmart. And so my dad left the line, went to the frozen section, loaded up the cart with ice cream bars, and then just left the cart for them to melt.
Revenge.
Social terrorism, like maniac. And then another time, I think the cable guy had his truck like parked in like a shared driveway that we had with our neighbor's lot, and it was like blocking my dad's ability to like back out of the driveway. And instead of like asking like, hey, could you like pull up so I can back out or whatever, he got in the guy's running truck and took the keys out and threw them into the tree line.
Okay, like that actually makes his problem worse.
I know. It's like, if I can't move, no one can move. I have no clue. But so it's like, there were a lot of like things like this where I'm like, there's a degree of hot-headedness that I guess you could just be like, like the grocery line was long. I freaked out. What do you want? But it's just like, no, that is insane behavior. Yeah. It's insane and antisocial behavior. So who is to say? I don't know. There's a wide range of what this could be, but it does feel like, you know, if we're coming up in retirement age, 40, probably time.
He's got to chill. Time. He's chill out.
And will he chill in retirement? I wonder. It feels like with that on the horizon, it's like it's maybe not work that's stressing him out, and you're probably gonna have to keep dealing with this.
Because he's gonna have a lot more time too on his hands.
I think it's repression.
Repression.
A lot of that stuff is repression. Because I know like I don't think I threw tantrums. I think in my early 20s, I think there was definitely a point where like if things were not going my way, I would be very angry.
But was it externalized?
And did you jump through hoops?
What do you mean?
Like did you could something small trigger a sort of domino effect to whatever the sort of grand problem in your life experience was? Okay, interesting.
It would have to be big. It would have to be like a real big thing, but that I couldn't talk about. It would have to be like a big emotional thing, something with like a girlfriend or like my band or something like that. I'll give this example. My band, we got accepted to CMJ Festival in 2000, I think it was, which is like the big in New York City, the big like indie rock festival. And our drummer, his other band also got accepted, and it turned out that their show was right at the same time our show was at a place that was pretty far. I think theirs was like, I can't remember exactly, but I think we were in the East Village and they were in Midtown, something like that. And it would have been impossible for him to get there.
He couldn't do both.
And so instead of like, as an adult, what I would do now would be like, hey, maybe we can call the organizers and see if we can, or the person who's like running your showcase and see if we can like switch the time so that you can just hop in a cab and let's try to figure this out, right? That's what an adult does. What I did then, I screamed at him to make them change it.
Ah, yes. Yeah, okay, yeah,
right?
Yeah,
this is me at 21, okay?
Right.
Which is not how an adult handles this kind of stuff. And then...
But it's also 21, you know what I mean? It's like...
Yeah, but that's the thing. I'll take that behavior, John. I'm sorry that I yelled at you like that. I'm sure I've said this to you in real life, so you're not. Hopefully, you're not just hearing this. Like, hey, John, I was listening to Andy's podcast. He apologized to you, and he's like, "Finally."
Kind of a Marin situation. Are we good? yeah. Yes, I don't know if you remember. 20 years ago, we were sort of in a Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist situation, and I freaked out.
That behavior, like, I stopped doing that after maybe, like, 22, something like that. And I learned to instead punch a trash can.
Ah, yes. Okay, yeah. Yes.
And then therapy. And then I learned how to deal with it in a healthy way. Mm-hmm. But, like, you know, hey, don't yell at another human being. Process it, like, scream in private into a pillow. Like, right. That's the progression. It went to don't do this in public.
Mm-hmm.
In private, you can let these emotions out.
Uh-huh.
And then, were you humiliated by doing that in private? For me, every time I would sort of try to be like, maybe I'm like a guy who hits stuff. It was always such an instant humiliation where I was like, oh, come. Like, I would, like, try to punch something, and it's even as I'm rearing to do it, it's like, seriously, come on, man. This is embarrassing, bro. You're a whole bunch of wall guy. Like, I couldn't get serious enough to do it, which was the same as crying, and that's kind of unfortunate as a spectrum of emotion expression. But it was humiliating to me. Were you kicking the trash can? Like, that's fucking right, trash can. Like,
no, I loved it. It was so good, because the energy was out of my body then. I was just like, oh, this is all I have to do to get rid of this energy? Great. No one's hurt. I don't scream at anyone. Sure, the trash can's dented, but okay. I'll get a new trash can someday.
Someday.
Someday I'll have the money to get a new waste paper basket. Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah. Maybe when I'm out of grad school and I'm a professor.
I'll have money for a new trash can.
Elbow patches and a perfectly cylindrical trash can. What a world. What a world.
By the way, when I said Zeus earlier, we were talking about Italians. I should have said Jupiter. I feel bad for that. I'm sorry,
it's
everyone.
It's okay, Andy. And I just want to
apologize.
Your
I want to apologize to you. I want to apologize to Mackie.
That's good. Apologize
audience.
I'm hanging on.
I'm apologizing
on
to
big.
You.
Yeah.
Roman gods.
You guys, you and that's apology. A white man. Who's done the work.
Yes.
Okay. You see how he just said, you know what? I'm going to, it's still sticking with me and I'm not afraid to just put it out there. The same way Andy last week said, okay, I want to let you guys know I referenced Star Trek, but I'm not that big of a fan. You know, he's honest. He's honest if nothing else.
But it turns out the Next Generation I know inside and out.
He is a huge fan and has a lot of specific references.
Did I want to be Data when I grew up? Yes.
He wanted to be a cyborg. He wanted to be a cyborg.
And desired to be a cyborg, me sort of forced to be a cyborg. Fascinating dichotomy.
Mm-mm-mm. Oh, Mackie. Thank you so much for coming on the show. This was a real delight.
Yeah, what a lovely way to spend an hour.
Thank you guys for having me. Yeah, no, truly, truly a blast. I'm feeling light. I'm feeling good.
I love that. Yeah. I love that. Take that with you. All right, you guys.
We'll see you
Hope
next
you're
time.
Feeling light. See you next time.
Bye. Bye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.